You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Frank Wander on the line, and he's founder and CEO of People Productive. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Frank. So I'm excited to talk about People Productive today, and we'll also talk about, you know, unlocking time and talent and what that looks like in the workforce. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives that are watching this that are always looking for tips and things to help them with their business. And I know you're coming with a lot today. So excited to get into this. And we'll start this show like we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Frank, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Mm-hmm. Frank, what mission matters to you?
My mission is to help companies and the people that work for them to thrive together. Years ago, you know, I had to do turnarounds in companies, and it became clear to me that these organizations, these IT divisions were failing because the human side of these places did not work right. The leaders did not understand how to get the best out of human capital. And when you did the turnaround, what happened is that the people in that organization really started to thrive. And it became clear to me that in the new world of work, where people were going to be the most important tool, unless people in the companies they work for thrive together, we as a country, as companies, we're never going to achieve that next level. So there's a big blind spot that we had to overcome. That's my mission, is to help create a world where people and the companies they work for thrive together.
That's amazing. And we will be bringing up that topic multiple times today, that idea and that concept of people thriving together. But thank you for sharing that, your mission. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and experts on the line. And so we'll go further into People Productive, of course, and we're going to go into this concept further of unlocking time and talent. But first off, like, how did you get, let's go back a little bit. How did you get started on this journey as an entrepreneur and in business?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember watching a video where an elder from an Indian tribe was talking, and somebody said, you know, how do people find their mission? And the elder said, actually, their mission finds them. And I, you know, that resonated with me because, you know, I stumbled into IT, actually. You know, I was a bio major in college. I was going out with this girl. It was senior year, and it was around October. She said, you better get moving because, you know, you got to find a job. And I went down to career services, and basically they had these, you know, interviews that you could apply for with companies. And my brother happened to be in IT. The companies are interviewing for IT trainees. I applied, ended up getting into the business as a trainee in IT, and quickly after 2 years was in leadership.
Wow.
And so I found just a great career, stumbled into it. And then in IT, I found my mission, which was that you really could create environments where, you know, people were thriving. And I had dug into IT failure, you know, enormous stories of IT failure across organizations and enterprises for years, still going on. Yeah. And I discovered, because of my biology background, that the root cause was people did not understand how to operate let's call it the human infrastructure. They knew everything about technology. They knew everything about business process. And it became clear that, you know, people had an industrial mindset. People did not matter. Process mattered, technology mattered. People were interchangeable parts. And until that paradigm was broken, this emerging digital era was never, ever going to really fully blossom. And we're still struggling with that battle today. There's no question. You know, it's an evolution. There's an awakening going on. I can see it. You know, I could see it and I could feel it. There is an awakening. The rehumanization of work is happening. And these things take time, but you do eventually reach an inflection point where it moves very fast. And I think we're quickly approaching that.
Man, that's awesome. And when, as I hear you kind of tell the story and you're like, your mission finds you, I'm like, man, you almost knocked me off the chair with that one, Frank. I never really thought about it. I've never heard anybody say that. I've done a lot of interviews and the idea that, and come on, we're mission matters. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's funny. It just resonated me within this individual said this. And I'm like, that's what happened to me, actually. You know, had I not stumbled into IT and had to take large organizations full of people and get them to work in a very cohesive way, which unlocked a lot of their talent and their energy, right? Humans are social organisms. And I realized that when I came into these places, they were just broken social systems. And everything happening was a reflection of the social system itself. If the social system was broken, what they produced was broken. And, you know, I think my bio background gave me a somewhat different lens, but it's interesting how it all just came together. And I love technology and I love building things and innovating things. And I love people. And, you know, that was the mission to, you know, understand how leaders in companies could create, you know, absolutely flourishing cultures, because that's what it's going to take. And if your culture is not flourishing, you're heading in the wrong direction. You're on your way to going out of business, because other people are going to have cultures that flourish where the people are much more capable of turning concepts into reality. And that's what this is all about.
And so, I mean, you strike me as the person as when you are, even when you're working for these large companies and when you are working in IT on the day to day, right? So you strike me as the type that was an intrapreneur. So you were always trying to innovate even within the company. Like, I get that from you immediately. At what point did you decide to kind of make that leap and say, all right, this is, you know, I have some more value to add and I want to start my own company?
I would say in 2011, it just got to the point where, you know, I was working on a book called Transforming IT Culture. I'd gotten a contract with Wiley Publishing. And I said, you know, listen, the world's got to move forward. This just has to happen. It is just such a shame that they were treating people as expenses and not assets. And, you know, there is a bit of that mindset there, even though it's evolving. Humans are assets that must be grown. And I said, there are tools for everything. There's an operating system for building elevators, you know, the building maintenance systems. They could see if the elevators are working. There's operating systems for every device, everything, but there just wasn't anything to operate the human infrastructure. And I said, I'm going to go build that. I wasn't quite sure how to do it exactly or what it would take, but
it's ambitious.
That was the plan. Yeah.
Like that's an ambitious thought. And I can see from your biology background, you're mixing that with tech and you're like, there's something else here. There's something else I can solve.
Yes. There is a real opportunity here, you know, not just for people productive, but for the world. This matters. You know, we're going through this so-called great resignation. I think in April, May, and June, 11 million people resigned. You know, you're dealing with a world where leaders still do not know how to create environments where people want to put down roots and stay. And I finally see people talking about belonging. I mean, we're on a meeting with one client and you're like, we've got to work on empathy. That is a breakthrough that anybody would say we should work on empathy as a leadership team. Wow. Years ago, you'd get laughed out of the place if you brought it up. I was always somewhat on the leading edge of this. And, you know, I remember going into one company and leading off with, you know, we're going to build a place where this is the most cohesive social system. People are going to get together. We're going to do great things. And I was leading with the human side and coming in as a CIO, they're expecting you to be a tech guy talking about it. And, you know, I was very interested in technology, trust me, because, you know, there's nothing more fun than building something, taking tools and technologies and building something that didn't exist that works. But the human technology was the most important because that was the key to success. And I remember one HR guy said, you know, look, I get it. It's really important. Don't lead with this. I don't think they're ready for this yet.
And so I'll be upfront and I'll pick on myself for a moment here is that the idea of like leading with empathy or things like that, when I, so my background is in finance and not, and that's a historically pretty, you know, set in type of field. Let's just say it's changing now, like a lot of industries are, but let's just say you're right. You would have got laughed out of the boardroom if you said something like that.
Yeah.
And so now moving with like where I work more in my day to day with creatives, right? I'm no longer in finance. So now that whole language and things, it's like a, it was a whole process to be able to even have those types of conversations and understand, you know, it's appropriate in the workplace and that you have to think about things and then think about when, and not even from this, just the standpoint of unlocking potential, but just in my opinion, at a certain level, it gets to like, that's just the way we want to treat people. Like that's the way we want to be treated too. So like we should be doing that as leaders to obviously the people that invest their time working for us, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, culture is a reflection of the leadership team. And everything they're doing, it's a mirror. And if people are leaving, it's because the leaders aren't doing enough to keep them. They're not growing them. They don't care about them. Caring is a pathway to everything. You've got to actually legitimately care about those individuals and their success. You got to get to know them. You got to understand, you know, what kind of growth objectives they have. And your job is to coach them and grow them and make sure that they become better under you, that they're a good corporate citizen, that they're contributing, and that these large pools of untapped talent potential, they're sitting around all over these companies that you can finally tap them and put them to work in your company. Because, you know, I worked for years in financial companies too. I was a registered broker, not because I was actually a broker, but I had to do it in one of the leadership positions. So I got my Series 7. I became very familiar with the whole financial side. And leaders had become experts at financial capital, no doubt about it. But now leadership has to become experts at human capital, because those are the assets that are going to grow and produce really the ultimate revenue for the firm. And so that's the urge. So
we've talked a little bit about the idea of time and talent, and I feel like, and we'll go deeper, but I feel like those are the obvious. So there's another concept that I know you for speaking on, and that's the idea of emotional energy.
Yeah.
Like how does that play into things? Because I think that those first two, like time and talent, like people might get that. They're like, oh, well, yeah, they can become more productive, but how does emotional energy fit into this recipe?
Well, you know, companies must harness the emotional energy of their people in a very productive and positive way. There's two things that drive it. One is passion. This is that internal drive. Yeah. And, you know, it's a human internal accelerator. If you can get the person excited about the mission and what they're doing, if they could see how their work connects to this bigger purpose that matters to them, then they're going to put more energy into it. And then there is the mood of the place. Many people call that the climate, but the mood, humans pick up on the energy of the, or, you know, the climate around them. They pick it up. And, you know, sometimes that's referred to as relational energy. But if you walk into a place, you know, any place I ever walked into or had to do a turnaround, it was a complete low vibe affair. You could feel it. You know, there was a negative energy, a lot of worry. You want to have a high vibe place, a high energy place, because that actually lifts everybody up. So it's a second accelerator. And you want to, as a leader, be able to manage organizational energy. You want to take it higher.
I love this discussion because I feel like I needed it, because I always hear, like, you hear different, you hear these concepts, right? But sometimes a certain voice or a certain thing, like maybe it's when you hit me with the your mission finds you moment that I was open to hearing it. But I feel like, you know, a lot of the people listening to this are also, it's going to resonate to them too. Like they're going to get it. They're going to feel your energy and your passion for what you're doing. And it's infectious. Like that's just the way it works. I want to get into people productive. So let's take a moment and maybe just tell us exactly what the company does.
Well, you know, we help companies turn human capital into better financial results, because that's ultimately what this is all about.
Yeah.
Humans are assets. They're assets that must be grown. But ultimately, leaders have to create cultures where people can produce more. And that comes down to how well and how effectively is the time, talent, energy of the people being used in the organization? Because the companies with the most effective use of human capital are going to produce the greatest financial returns, are going to have more money to reinvest. They're going to win. That's the era we're in. People count, and they count more than ever. So, you know, we help companies measure how effectively they're using the time, talent, energy of their people. And then we give them roadmaps and tools to help them unlock more of the human potential in their organization. And we ultimately help them link it to these key performance indicators that will show you how you're driving higher returns. And this comes down to senior leaders who say, hey, we've got to do a better job. We've got to build ultimately competencies and skills on the human side of business like we did everywhere else. We're going to master this. We're going to unlock the best our people have to give. And that's what we're there to do. We're there to help them achieve that.
And so what size companies do you typically work with? Or what I should say, what kind of companies get the most value out of working with you and your team? So is this only for like enterprise level companies? Is this for middle market? Like, where do you fall at in line?
Well, we've worked with very small companies, but you know, these small companies, you need a very enlightened leader in a small company, mm-hmm. right? Who's going to actually go embark on this because there is work involved. Yeah. And generally, if you have a high EQ leader in a small company, they have pretty good cultures already. So, you know, they don't need this tool nearly as much as larger organizations, you know, mid-market yeah. companies and others where there's a lot of blind spots, yeah. you know, pools of untapped talent potential, bad leadership.
Yeah.
They want to get to the next level. And it's, you know, companies with a lot of knowledge workers who have to work together to create things.
Yeah.
You know, this is what the digital era is all about. And they want to just unlock more passion, drive, innovation. You know, people talk about we're going to be an agile company and we're going to put an agile process in. Human agility is different than agile processes. Human agility and human resilience are what they really want. And they've got to figure out how to unlock that and tap into that. And so the human side of business is a competency they can build.
Yeah. And these blind spots can be big. Like I can see that. And we're still a small company. So there's 15 of us, but as every little piece that we add to the puzzle, every different person, every new hire, every little thing we've done, you know, throughout the years, even to get to this size, I can see just as a leader, I'm like, man, like I didn't see that. Or, oh, and you know, you can make a little tweak and you're like, wow, I didn't like have a whole different result. So as we grow as a company, I can't even imagine what happens for some of these larger companies. They may have entire departments or huge amount of resources that are not that, of course, they're using effectively, but they haven't really like unlocked that real potential that might be there. And it's like, it's kind of almost like you're digging for gold in your own mountain you already own, so to speak. Like it's already there.
Yeah.
Like it's there.
You know, interestingly, the one company, you know, working with a partner at one company, relatively large company, mm-hmm. and you know, hundreds of salespeople. And, you know, it turned out that we were able to show in this company, when you look at time and talent, talent is what are those key competencies that create success in that organization? Mm-hmm. You know, so we were able to unlock, you know, what their kind of their secret formula was, like what should they be hiring for? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't certain things you can't actually train people on, like ambition and drive, you know, is a measured. They call it a competency, but it's an aptitude, really. People are born with this. They have that ambition and drive. And their best people had high ambition and drive. And interestingly, they also had high learning agility because it was a very complex environment. Mm. So if you didn't go get that from the beginning and bring that talent, you know, because this is talent, when you bring the right talent in to the culture and energize them, they had a very good culture, but, you know, they were having turnover because they weren't getting the right people in the door. And, you know, one person leaving, we got down to the cost was about $350,000 every time they had a bad hire. Now, if you lost a good hire, somebody with the high competence because they didn't put down roots, it was much more expensive because they were big producers. Mm. But just that cost of a bad hire, $350,000, you know, you stop 10 bad hires from occurring, that's $3.5 million to the organization right there.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and that's a great example.
That's real life stuff.
Yeah, that's a big example, and I'm sure that you see. I mean, because you've been doing this for a long time, like you see this happen over and over again. This isn't like an isolated one time thing.
No. You know, I think that we're still suffering under the halo of this industrial era mindset. You know, because it's a meme. These are memes. These are cultural things that are passed from one organization to another. So you could take what people do today and trace that linkage back to Frederick Taylor, you know, who created the whole management science movement. We're going to deal with process. We're going to perfect the processes. That mindset, you know, and the fact that people are interchangeable parts because they were standing on assembly lines in factories, you know, that's a mindset. People are much more concerned about human capital now than ever before. And this is the breakthrough. They just haven't built the skills and competencies they're going to have to win and sustain competitive advantage in this era.
That's exciting, though, to me, because that just means that there's so much potential still. Like, there's just so much potential. So now we, and as we get out of this and everything, and I think I see this going across like different industries, everything from like healthcare to education, right? Like our school system and our school system being built from Industrial Revolution era and all of this, like all of these things, as we kind of get into this new, like acceptance of it, if you will, like the possibility for innovation is just kind of, it's just mind blowing to me. Like there's just so much that can be done with the current resources, like without having to have all these additional breakthroughs in technology and other things that are happening also, whether it's AI or machine learning or something else. So now if you combine unlocking the human talent with technology, wow, things get interesting.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, this has to be a strategic objective for the company. We're going to unlock the full potential of talent. We're going to hire people with the right aptitudes and competencies so that we have those skills we need. And you talk about mission matters. I mean, one of the shames, you talk about this industrial era educational system. It is. You know, people end up going through, you know, their entire school years, possibly through college, and they get to the end of the road going, I don't know. What do I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
You know, people at a young age have passion about things, and the educational system should be creating awakening in kids about what they love and allowing them to do more of that so that they can work on their passion early. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be better equipped to go into these companies, you know, who are looking for certain types of human capital to do what they have to do. And they will have had their passion ignited before they got there.
Love it. So in the beginning of the interview, you brought this concept of us and in your mission of us all of us flourishing together. Can you kind of build on that? Like, what does that look like to you?
What that looks like to me is you have a company. People are passionate about the mission of the company. Mm-hmm. They're working together in a very productive and profound way. The human factors of innovation are operating. Ideas are flowing. People are able to turn those ideas into new concepts and realities. People have think time. You know, in the studies we did, companies that were at the highest level, this fourth quartile, tended to have think time in their companies. And that's very important. And it's a differentiator because people who have time to sit back and think about how to do things better end up contributing a lot more. You know, they start improving things on their own. And in fact, those companies in that fourth quartile with think time, they were much more highly enabled. They were more innovative. Mm-hmm. So these things matter. You know, that's a human factor. These human factors of innovation, how do you even unlock them? Because companies move through levels. They're very uncollaborative. Then they move into a collaborative phase and they get to innovative. And then they can ultimately be thriving because people's achievement needs are being met. There's high levels of esteem. People are collaborating in a very meaningful way that produces results. They have open and honest conversations with one another about what's happening. They're not afraid to speak up. So, you know, this uncollaborative level is really Maslow's safety level, where people don't really necessarily feel safe. Did a lot of studies on that for many years on psychological, emotional safety. And there's more to it than that. You know, fairness and equality are at that level. You can see what happens in a world where there's a lack of fairness and equality. You can see what happens in a company where there's a lack of fairness and equality. It's people are wired to look out, be on the lookout for things that are unfair because it means it may affect their success and survival. So they're innately wired for this. And thriving companies, you know, are hitting on all cylinders on these human factors of leadership. They just are.
Man, that's awesome. And so, and again, I don't want to oversimplify this. Only so much we can get done in a, you know, an hour podcast or 45 minute interview. But I know there's a lot of leaders here listening today, and they're thinking about, like, you know, they have ideas going in their head. They have other things going, and they're like, you know, like, where do I start? Like, this can be overwhelming when you hear these concepts and you get excited. So, like, where would you say, and again, this would be different from company to company. I know there's no magic key to everything, but, like, how should a leader start if they're accepting this information, they're watching this, and they feel that there's maybe some room for improvement in their organization? Like, where do they start?
This begins with that dawning of awareness, with an executive, a leader of a company saying, we've got to make human capital and the most effective use of talent a strategic priority. So it begins with a diagnostic, but before the diagnostic, you know, we have a white glove process. We meet with them. We really want to understand, what are the business objectives? What do they want to accomplish? And it begins with a motivating, energizing theme that gets communicated out to the organization, building a better future together, right? Mm-hmm. During COVID, it was emerge stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of themes, but a theme that matters, because you're not just doing a diagnostic, you're starting a journey. Mm-hmm. And you want to get the people motivated for the journey. And then you want to share the results of what we're going to do together to improve the place. The leaders take the lead. They are the coaches. They're the animators. They energize the organization. They've got to grow people. They've got to change their mindset. And they've got to make this a priority, because, yeah, there's some mastery involved. None of this is hard. These are, you know, caring about other people, nothing could be more human than that at the end of the day. Yeah. But it's, people went through their entire schooling. They got to work in a company and they were taught a bunch of things. What they were never taught is the human side of business. They were taught to think, they weren't taught to feel. So they've just got to tap that part of them. It's there. You find very high EQ leaders who are doing this intuitively already, you know, and those leaders can go even further if they have the data and the tools to really embed much better behaviors and ways of working together in their company, which is what we provide. Because it's a journey that you're always working on. It's like continuous improvement process for the human side of business.
So you mentioned a diagnostic, and obviously my ears had to perk up on that one. Like, well, like, what does that look like, or what does that entail?
Very simple. You know, we help them craft this motivating message. We want to get the highest participation. We want to get the best possible results. And then, you know, they could take a quick assessment on the mobile phone. We have a very cool user interface. If they want to go in on their desktop, no problem. But we gather the data and we show them how effectively human capital is being used across every layer and organization of the company.
If this is implemented and if this is successful, like a successful engagement, right? Ultimately, that's the goal. Like, what are some of the things that they would want to expect on the other side? Like, what does the other side of that look like after kind of going through this process?
The other side is that they're going to get probably at a minimum a 25% improvement in productivity. And that means we're going to link what their people are doing to results that matter to them, some KPIs. And we're going to show them, you know, how, in fact, their leadership style needs to change in order to drive the most effective use of the talent that works for them to actually achieve more. So it's about, you know, achieving better results that are measurable. And that's what happens. So on the other side of it, they're operating, they're using human capital in a much more competent way. They've built these skills and competencies. They've transformed how they use human capital, how they lead, and they have tools to continuously manage it on their own. Because we don't want to be there. We want to help them get going. Mm-hmm. We want them to just lead, build the competencies, and then use our tools and technology to continuously improve how their people work and the state of belonging, you know, and deepen the roots in the organization, really.
That's awesome. Well, Frank, and this is awesome. You have me all excited over here. I'm all about this unlocking potential and time and emotional energy. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's a great message. And I mean, you're helping
do
that day in and day out. I mean, I have to ask. So what's next? What's next for you? What's next for People Productive?
Well, we're working now on really human performance engineering for the whole enterprise. Mm-hmm. Not that we didn't do that. But now we're looking at the aptitudes and talents across every organization so that a company can literally roll up the state of aptitude. You know, do they have the right aptitudes in place? What is their secret formula? Because marketing is different than IT, is different than sales. And so that's it. That's the ultimate goal, is to get to that level. And then we have other things we want to weave into this, like We've worked on a human capital balance sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, humans should understand their human capital value. They should be growing it themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want a partner who would help us build the first ever human capital balance sheet under this. So we could take all of this stuff and really take human capital to that operating system level where it works. People have the skills and competencies and we have the balance sheet and people are managing human capital like they manage financial capital. That's where this has to end. So that's the end goal for us.
Man, that is an amazing concept, an actual balance sheet and to manage it just like you're managing finance. This is great. These are big, ambitious tasks, but I love it because I'm like, I want you working on it, Frank. And then I'm bringing you back on the show and you tell me when this balance sheet's done. This is exciting.
You know, Adam, it matters to America. We've got to get this done, right? We're not going to be manufacturing industrial products. Yeah. It's going to be digital, 3D printing. We're going to have a lot of software-based products. So it's going to be the minds of all these makers being brought to life, you know, and it'll be teams of people doing it together. And so, you know, the old factory with all the machines running, when you look at the future, it's people working together. They are the modern plant and equipment in these companies. And that's a hallmark of the digital era. So we are on the precipice of an amazing era. It is happening right now. The industrial era was left behind. You know, much of that was outsourced to other environs, giving us basically, you know, a clear, you know, green field to build a new future. And we've got to build back better. We've got to build a future that's just very different where people and the companies that work for thrive together. We've got to get the human side right. Mm-hmm. You know, the digital era is here. It's upon us. And companies just have to embrace this. It's time. Don't be a victim of the Great Resignation. It's not only was it predictable, it was avoidable. Honestly.
Totally. Well, Frank, this has been awesome. Really enjoyed our time today and learning more about, of course, People Productive and how you're helping companies, middle market and enterprise companies, how you're helping them unlock time, talent, and emotional energy. Mm-hmm. That emotional energy is so big. And I can feel your energy over here. So again, awesome having you on the show. If somebody wants to learn more and they want to follow up with you and your team at People Productive, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way to do it is just go to www.peopleproductive.com, put in an inquiry. We're monitoring all the time. We'll get right back to you. We'd love to talk to you and love to help you build a company where your people are thriving along with your company.
Amazing. Well, again, Frank, really appreciate you coming on the show. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. I know I did. And if you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have a lot more mission-based entrepreneurs, executives, and experts coming on, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And don't forget to go check out that People Productive website. And Frank, really has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on.
Hey, Adam, so glad you had me on. Thank you. Appreciate it. You take care.